Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, the Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today, I'm talking with a couple of members of NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee, Matthew Johnson of QuadScore and David Ron of S2S Insurance. Matthew Johnson serves as QuadScore's Vice President of Risk Services, and QuadScore has grown to become one of the largest cannabis insurers over a short 4 years, with a specialty in covering the considerable assets of North America's multi-state operators and publicly traded companies. At QuadScore, Matthew's role is to manage risks for America's premier cannabis operators, helping protect businesses from preventable claims. David Ron with S2S Insurance is a highly specialized insurance professional with deep cannabis industry knowledge and experience. As an all-lines insurance broker with strong analytical skills, he performs detailed risk assessments for both startup and established cannabis companies and develops customized strategies and solutions designed to minimize risk, safeguard, and grow their business. Definitely a lot going on with the cannabis industry, a lot of moving parts behind the scenes there. Welcome you both to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Let's start by getting to know you both a little bit better, maybe a little bit more about your background, your experience prior to working in the cannabis industry and field and supporting cannabis operators. What did you all do before that? Matt, let's start with you.
Yeah, sure. Well, Bethany, I'm a proud graduate of the University of Georgia. I really enjoyed my time there. I studied finance and Spanish in undergrad. I tried all kinds of internships to find my passion. I worked in politics for a U.S. senator, worked in finance for a multinational defense firm. Even tried a legal internship with a criminal defense attorney, but none of them really struck my fancy. So after I graduated college, I was fortunate to get a job with a Berkshire Hathaway insurance company that let me travel a bit around the Southeast, talk to lots of people, and learn the ins and outs of insurance. As you can imagine, it was not always the most fascinating field of work, but I was lucky enough to work with one fellow who had some cannabis risks to insure. So I got a bit of a taste for cannabis insurance while I was at Berkshire Hathaway, and eventually was recruited to join QuadScore, which was at that time, I think, a 3 or 4 employee cannabis insurance startup in Atlanta, Georgia. It just seemed like a natural fit to be working in a developing field where, you know, coverage was still being formed by the insurance companies and attorneys. The market was growing so quickly. New states are legalizing every month and so on and so on. So joined QuadScore close to 3.5 years ago and haven't looked back. So that's my story. And David, let's kick it over to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started in insurance about four and a half years ago when I got my all lines insurance broker's license. And I was working predominantly with my father at a insurance company in Miami, though, specializing more in marine risk and hard to place insurance. And then also at that time, it was around 2015, 2016, we were looking to place equipment breakdown insurance for a cannabis company out in Oregon that was looking for equipment breakdown insurance for their extraction equipment. We were able to satisfy the client. And then once when Florida Amendment 2 passed in 2016, we really saw the cannabis market and industry booming, not only in the Pacific Northwest, but also in the Southeast as well. So we decided to take a chance and open up shop and provide insurance services for the cannabis, hemp, CBD, and psychedelic industries.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, that's interesting journey through all of this insurance and cannabis worlds meeting each other for sure. So that's how you got here. Why did you end up in cannabis? Like, some people have a personal story. Some people have a reason that inspired them to get involved in cannabis outside of the professional reasons. And I wonder if either of you have one of those stories that you'd like to share with the audience that really speaks to the movement of cannabis and why we're all a part of this community.
Well, thank God that Florida is a medical marijuana state, because I am a proud cannabis patient here in the state of Florida. I have a lot of pre-existing health conditions that really would not allow me to have a typical 9-to-5 desk job. And cannabis really helps that out in evening and plateauing both my mental and physical health. So I can stay at that job and succeed. And that's where I feel cannabis has helped. So being a patient, I get that firsthand experience also helping with my clients who are also in the industry to see what the ins and outs are really going on in the industry and how I can better not only inform myself as a cannabis consumer, but I can also inform the industry as well if there are new risks or if there are new challenges that we're about to face, especially in the insurance industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people agree the mental and physical benefits of cannabis definitely are allowing for a better quality of life. So appreciate that perspective. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, like David, I really see the tremendous medical potential of the plant, and that will still be the one factor that gets me excited about cannabis more than anything. We are a neighbor to Florida, a little bit further north here in Georgia. And back in 2015, Georgia, but surprisingly led by a Republican, I believe, Georgia passed the Haley's Hope Act. Haley was a young girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old when this all was happening, who suffered 300 seizures a day. Just a staggering number that really removes one's ability to be a child.
Yeah.
At that point, you're a patient more than anything. Her family tried everything, had her on 6-7 pharmaceutical prescriptions at once, and they helped, but sometimes the side effects were worse than the benefits. Well, seemingly out of options, I believe the story goes that her parents flew out to Colorado, came back with some low potency cannabis oil, and I immediately saw their child return to them. After starting regular dosing, you know, Haley was down to maybe a couple of seizures a week instead of hundreds every day. And the family was, at least briefly whole again. And that's just one story of thousands, if not millions of those that need to be heard around the world. But it really resonated with me here. And I really hope that we can continue making progress so that all Americans and all people of the world really have access to this safe plant medicine.
Yeah,
and life-changing.
Yeah, that story in particular is really a heart-wrenching one as well. Thanks for reminding me about that one. So yeah, we're all in this industry together for many, many reasons. And there's a lot of work to be done, of course, and we all have a role to play. So before we take our next commercial break and dive into some of the nuances of the insurance side of things, let's just briefly chat about what your role is at your current company and what your day-to-day is like. Matt?
Yeah, so I work in our risk services division. The job is very similar to risk manager positions in other industries, where I'm responsible for looking at the losses that affect our book of business, anything from a hurricane to a wildfire and everything in between, right? Mm-hmm. Figure out what is preventable, what can I do to help mitigate risks. And you know, I can't stop a hurricane. I probably can't stop a wildfire either. But for a lot of the more manageable risks, you know, like theft or product liability, there are definitely some pieces of advice or risk management partnerships or this or that or the other thing that I can share with our operators in the field, our ultimate insurance clients, to help them ensure their operations are ironclad against really the most common and the most severe loss drivers that we see as the insurance company. Mm-hmm. So the goal is really just to help cannabis businesses protect their business before it ever comes to a point where they have to file a claim.
Yeah. Awesome. David?
Yeah. So like Matt, I help customers make sure that they have the correct insurance in place for their business to operate safely and in compliance with the industry regulations. I help clients find hard to place insurance for, you know, everything from property and casualty, like general liability and property, to management liability, their directors and officers insurance, or their employer practices liability insurance. Everything in between, anything from the seed to the sales supply chain, I can provide an insurance product for, is how I like to present myself and face my clients. I'm the person who talks to my clients on a daily basis. We're a very small company, but we have had a lot of success and a lot of growth in expanding our portfolio and making sure that, you know, we cover everything from dispensaries to labs to cultivators to extraction to testing to doctors making recommendations for medical marijuana patients. We cover everything. And that's how we like to present ourselves. We cover everything, and we can also provide hard-to-place insurance.
Excellent. Awesome. Thank you both. All right, let's go ahead and take that first commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk more with Matthew and David from the Risk Management and Insurance Committee at NCIA. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, chatting with Matthew and David, who sit on NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee. So, talking about insuring the cannabis industry, it's great that we're here. 10 years ago, that was probably not even a conversation that was ever had. But many people rely on insurance professionals to navigate these complicated waters of protecting their businesses. And truly, there's a lot of different types of insurance that a cannabis company should consider, as you mentioned before the break, really. So let's start with the basics, though. Insurance, even without adding the cannabis element to it, can be a little complicated to wrap your head around if you're not a professional. So what are the most common basic types of insurance that almost any cannabis company should right off the bat immediately secure. David, what are your thoughts?
So a cannabis company at any size really right off the bat should really be starting with commercial general liability insurance. That protects everything from, you know, your slip and falls, from your day-to-day accidents. You know, then we dive into your commercial property, everything from your inventory to your extraction equipment to your POS systems and your dispensaries. There's a lot depending on what area of the industry are that you're in depends on the type of insurance products that you're looking at. If you're an extraction company, you're also going to want to be looking at product liability insurance in case anything at your product is at fault in any sort of way. Like, for instance, if one of your customers gets sick from your product, they can file a claim and you can be covered under your product liability insurance. Getting more advanced and into the weeds, once you scale your company in growth, you're definitely going to want to look at workers' compensation, employers' practices liability insurance to protect your employees, and then also to protect your C-suite executives and your investors. You're going to want to look at directors and officers insurance.
Got it. Yeah, everything from people to machines and equipment to products as well. Absolutely. Matthew, did you want to add anything to that about the immediate types of insurance that would be really common for just about any cannabis company to get right off the bat?
Oh, I think that's a great overview. I do think that if you have any vehicles to definitely make sure that those are adequately covered, either under a hired not owned or a proper commercial automotive insurance policy. But great, great intro.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So those are the basics. Now let's talk about some more nuanced insurance types that folks may not immediately think about right off the bat. So, you know, when I think of insurance, I think about the phrase acts of God, which are sometimes covered in insurance, right? It's interesting to see that phrase in an insurance policy. What do you think of that, David?
Yeah, definitely that acts of God clause, you know, definitely gets more broader and broader, you know, as we see these torrential storms and massive shifts in our climate. You know, we can look directly at Hurricane Ian, where the state of Florida nearly closed more than half of their dispensaries because they were in the path of Hurricane Ian.
Yikes. Or the wildfires in California.
Or the wildfires out in the West Coast. I mean, everything, all these are considered acts of God, and these are all insurable risks that we can take upon ourselves to protect ourselves against.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, it can be tricky, and I think there's an important distinction there. Some wildfires are going to be caused by humans, as we see with the Smokey Bear, you know, only you can prevent wildfires thing. But then the ones that are really an act of God, I think I had to dig into this back at Berkshire, but I think that's only if it's something like a lightning strike actually causes the wildfire, then it's an act of God. So just because it's an act of God doesn't mean that God hates your business. It probably just means that you've got bad luck. So hopefully you're working with David or someone on the brokerage side to make sure you've at least got good insurance, which should respond.
Seems like a poetic way of saying bad luck, acts of God.
Pretty much.
Are there any other like nuanced, unusual types of insurance that outside of what we spoke about previously, people, machines, equipment, products, that a cannabis company might want to look into but wouldn't think about right off the bat?
One that really does come to mind that I have, you know, placed in front of my clients from time to time is kidnap and ransom insurance.
Whoa, wow. Yes, kidnap and ransom. I mean, dispensaries in particular can be a target for all kinds of theft, criminals, So a scenario like that may very well happen if a robbery escalates or goes wrong, basically.
Absolutely.
Right? Oh my gosh. That's intense to think about. Definitely. Matt, any other thoughts there?
Oh, that's a huge one. Kidnap and ransom or
wow.
A&R can apply to, even if it's just a, you know, CEO of a publicly traded company is traveling abroad to Europe and someone knows who he is, decides to take advantage of the situation and kidnap them. That kind of goes hand in hand with another that we'd recommend, key man insurance.
Yeah.
Sometimes part and parcel there. But really making sure that you cover the partners, the directors, the executives of a company without whom the company cannot function. You want to make sure that those guys are absolutely insured, as well as every customer who steps foot onto your premises.
Yeah. Wow. That's fascinating. Thanks for that insight. So as we've navigated through these last few years of cannabis legalization, we are at the point where we can probably start to see patterns and repeated instances. I'm curious if there's any bigger specific exposures or claims that we're seeing most often in the cannabis industry and what they are. Like off the top of my head, you know, we're talking about the waves of theft and robbery that were happening, especially in places like the Bay Area last year in particular. What are your thoughts about that, Matt?
Yeah, no, those are definitely some of the key drivers there. I think we've touched on two of the top three. Fire is our number one preventable cause of loss.
Preventable.
Yes. Believe it or not, it's not wildfires. It's not God striking down a dead tree with lightning that then spreads to your facility.
It's man-made. Fire.
Correct. It is man-made, and it comes from older generation cultivation lighting. We typically see high-pressure sodium bulbs, metal halide bulbs, ceramic metal halide bulbs often are the culprit really for 70 to 80% of the fire claims that we see. And it usually ends up being quite a severe claim too. So we've got a lot of focus there. Number two on our hit list is theft. This is a huge issue in several states across the country. We're seeing almost continuous crime rings operating in Washington State, in St. Louis, Missouri, and other cities around that state. California has certainly gotten waves of it, really starting in 2020 and then continuing on as the legislation has impacted police. How do I say this gently? The police ability to respond. And I think we may be seeing some waves coming in the Northeast soon as New York and New Jersey turn on. But there are things you can do to keep your business safe, certainly. And really the dark horse here that I think people aren't paying enough attention to is the emerging risk of product liability. We're seeing an uptick in product recall instances, certainly seeing more lawsuits filed, particularly against the larger multi-state operators. And then there's a huge amount of liability kind of tangential to the regulated cannabis industry, liability that stems from the hemp-derived intoxicating cannabinoid market. These are the Delta 8 and Delta 10 and so on companies that are legal only through the loophole presented in the 2018 Farm Bill. So a lot of liability risk associated with those businesses as well.
Got it. Yeah, those gummies went bad and got somebody sick, and now you have to pull everything off the shelves, right?
Yep.
Gotcha. Let's take our last commercial break and come back and wrap up our chat with Matt and David. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. We've been chatting with Matthew Johnson and David Ron, who both sit on NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee, talking about insuring the cannabis industry. Very cool that we're talking about this. 10 years ago, this wasn't even a real conversation that was happening in the world. Theft, fire, products, people, kind of covering most of the basics here. So we've got the top risks that most cannabis operators see in their day-to-day. Operating a cannabis business has a lot of moving parts. So we're navigating this long game of federal legalization. So any final advice to offer cannabis operators, what they can do to protect their business from the top insurance risks and hazards? Some of this is preventable. You know, it's not, you're not guaranteed. It's not a guarantee that your business is going to catch on fire. You can do things to prevent that. What a concept. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And thank you for putting the disclaimer in so I didn't have to. There are absolutely steps you can take, and nothing's 100% foolproof. But for fire, the biggest piece of advice I could share is upgrade to LED cultivation lighting. You wouldn't still be using, a BlackBerry from 2002 when the iPhone 14 Pro is out, right? Upgrade your lights. The new ones are safer. They're going to cost you less in terms of your energy usage. They're going to last a lot longer. There are just endless upsides to it. I could go on all day. Beyond that, sprinklers, test your fire pumps, test your sprinklers. Make sure that any fire suppression system you have paid for is actually in service. With those two things, you're going to do a lot to fight fire on site. Theft cool. is a little more nuanced, right? It could be putting decorative barriers in front of your building to prevent vehicular entry. It could just be having an extra person checking IDs. We work with some really great security groups to help keep our clients safe. And then product liability, I think, was the third area I talked about there. That number one rule is testing. Just make sure you are testing your products with a good lab. If you need a checklist on what to look for in a testing lab, that's something we've got. Really, really excited to see a number of operators earning their GMP certifications. Good mm-hmm. manufacturing practices go a long way towards improving traceability and accountability in the supply chain, which ultimately lead to increased consumer safety down the road. So there are a number of things you can do on top of what I've just mentioned there. But those are some of the core, base level recommendations I put out for every operator to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Those testing labs are there for a reason. Absolutely. David, did you want to add anything to that list?
Yeah, especially, going back to the testing labs, consumer safety is definitely paramount within this industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are also looking at an industry that, we hold in the same regard as, let's say, wine or fine foods. But this time around, the provenance, the strength, the bouquet that everybody's looking for, the terroir or what this or the scent from the terpene profile, that's all data driven. And then that's all checked by the labs. You want to make sure that you're with a compliant lab that is providing you with honest, compliant data that doesn't make sure that it's inflating or deflating your product that could really hurt your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. Well, we only have about a minute left before we need to wrap up the show. I want to make a quick announcement about our next Lobby Days event. NCIA's 11th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days will be taking place in May of 2023 in Washington, D.C., of course. The dates are May 16th, 17th, and 18th. And registration for that is open already if you want to go ahead and sign up. And we have some special sponsorship packages available for NCIA member companies who want to get some brand exposure at that event as well. Also, we have some in-person events coming back to the calendar in January, February, March, April, and May. We'll be on tour across the U.S. with our networking receptions held in the evening called NCIA Industry Socials. Those are lots of fun. We'll also have a couple cannabis caucuses as well in, I believe, New York and Colorado. So some nice 2-3 hour events free for NCIA members. entry available for non-NCIA members to attend as well. Keep an eye out for that. We're going to be announcing that calendar of events very, very soon, and we're excited to get back on the road and see all of our members in their regions where they're operating. So looking forward to seeing you all there. And I hope both of you can attend Lobby Days in May. It is our absolute favorite event on the calendar. And it was tough not being able to go to DC in 2020 and 2021. And we had to push to September for 2022 to finally get back there again. It's such a great event, and I hope you all can make it. And I hope NCIA members listening can also attend Lobby Days with us in May and make it even bigger and better than the previous one. And thank you both for taking time to chat with me on the podcast today. I know we're all hurtling as fast as we can toward federal legalization, and you know, we'll see what that landscape looks like when we get there, right?
Right.
Cool. Thanks you both again for joining me. Again, David Ron is with S2S Insurance and Matthew Johnson with QuadScore, both members of NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee. Thanks to you both for being on the show, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.